Louisiana Prep Weekly, presented by GMFS. A weekly comprehensive look inside high school athletics around the state on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. From the recruiting trails to the offices of the LHSAA, we'll have you covered. Now, here's Kate Wazan, Todd Black, and Jimmy Roy.
Good evening and welcome to Louisiana Prep Weekly, presented by GMFS, live from Schlitz and Giggles here underneath the Perkins Road overpass, our home away from studio each and every week. We invite you to come on out here before, during, after the game on the weekends, on Friday nights, Saturdays, Sundays. Warm, hot pizza, some of the best pizza in town, if you ask us. And of course, some ice cold beverages to wash everything down. Not just the pizza, but the wraps, the paninis, the salads, and a whole lot more. Nuts as well. And while you're here, well, they have that 196-inch projector screen TV right behind where they're tossing to. You'd enjoy all the games each and every week. Bring your friends before, during, and after the game here at Schlitz and Giggles. I'm joined, of course, by Todd Black and Jimmy Roy. And, guys, we will get to the playoff action going on this weekend, certainly from the standpoint of the local participation on both the select and non-select side, but I'd be a little remiss if we didn't bring up one of the bigger topics today, and that being A-Meet getting their appeal rejected. And they will, at this point in time, not be participating in the Class 3A state playoffs.
Well, Todd, before we go further, and I know Todd has been keeping up with this a whole lot more than me. We've been doing some other duties, me and Cade. But this is a shame that you're talking about a semifinal weekend and a finals weekend for all these kids who are doing things right, and yet you having something like this overshadow the good of high school athletics.
Well, there's a couple of things going on here. One is this was not reported until, or the commissioner and the officials did not, or the LHSA did not find out about this until Sunday morning. All right.
Tell us what happened first.
All right. Well, with 1:55 left, earlier in the season, Bogalusa and A-Meet were playing. Bogalusa won, so they rematched in the quarterfinals. Word is it was chippy all throughout the game, and A-Meet's twos were in the game, and with 1:55 left, pushed the score to 56-20, and ensued a brawl after that, a bench-clearing brawl. Now, the game was called with 1:55 left, and the officials were quoted as saying that they would look at tape to see who the ejections would be. However, there was no tape, ironically, on Huddle. So this should have been reported that Friday night. It was not, and it goes all the way to Sunday morning. Now, this reminds you, if this is taken care of correctly, today they would have found out whether or not they were going to play on Friday.
And to clear this, both schools should have reported it, along with the game officials. The game officials are the ones who really dropped the ball and did not report.
That's what I was going to say. Where's the line of protocol? Do the officials call LHSA's offices and report this to the name of
Jacob or whoever it may be?
Is it Keith Alexander?
Yes. Oh, Keith Alexander is the head of the officials.
Is he the one that has to get that information?
Correct.
So why is it important that this happens? Because it is a rule that if a player leaves the bench, he is automatically suspended for the next game. I don't care if it's a playoff game or regular season, because A-Meet's trying to make it go to a regular season game. No, absolutely not. And now here's where I kind of get a little bent on this. There's got to be a certain protocol to this appeal, because this is a rule. It's in the handbook that if you leave the bench, you're automatically suspended. The people at A-Meet are saying this is too harsh. And it's got to be harsh, because kids are going to want to go out there and help their teammates. And I gave you this parallel today earlier. If I am drinking, all right, my first instinct is to drive. However, if I understand that I've got to pay the consequences if I get caught with that, which is jail and whatever else, then that's the case. Here, you know the consequences if you leave the bench. They left the bench. There was only five kids remaining on that bench. Therefore, A-Meet may have won, but five people can't play against St. James.
What about the players on the field already at that time? Where obviously there's penalties if you can't go around throwing
that, that's correct, right. And that is something that
officials dropped the ball there too.
That A-Meet is making the appeal on and the lawsuit on. They're saying those 11 people were on the field already. How could they leave the bench and get on the field? They were on it. Okay, that's a given. Let's take those 11 and let's take the five. So A-Meet can field a 16-man team against St. James Friday night if that's the case. But the fight started on the field, and the officials' point of view, the game was stopped. You have to prove they were fighting on the field. The game was stopped. Why? Because they were fighting on the field.
It didn't happen within regulation time of the game. It wasn't.
Yeah, there was a minute 55.
Handshake or something like that. Okay.
So here's the thing. You get ejected for throwing punches. You know some of those guys on the field without a doubt threw a punch.
They started it.
And so, therefore, that's where some of these 11 start getting ejected, but the officials didn't do their due diligence in that particular order. But here's the whole thing about this, and why this is so important, I think, guys, is that, you know, we need to be, with the LHSA and other things, we need to be proactive instead of reactive. Don't allow this stuff to continue to happen. You make these penalties harsh. You make these people understand that they have to follow the rule book and not say whatever they have to say to try to dodge the bullet. If it's a rule, it's a rule, and that's what you got to follow.
Does it matter? Do we know who started the actual fight?
Do not know, and that really does not matter. At that point, like Todd made a point today, talking off there in a production meeting, we're sitting there, and that's where you see things getting chippy. And the officials said that. The coaches said that. A-Meet has said that. They saw things getting chippy. That's where you, as the coach, pull at your team together. If you have to burn a timeout or whatever, the officials should have stopped it first. But then as a coach, you pull your team together and you say, if something happens, you do not leave this bench. You have nothing to gain by going on the field and everything to lose. And Todd was dead right about that. They had everything to lose and they lost it. Hats off. Also, Todd, to the executive committee for backing Mr. Bonine on this. I mean, because they overruled him on the two practice situation up in North Louisiana. They've hired a man to come in here and clean this mess up. He's doing it, but you have to back him. You can't overrule his decisions, and they did that this time. So hats off to them. Hopefully, the courts uphold it. This is also a fiasco for St. James because I know Coach Jenkins is having to prepare to play A-Meet on Friday night still today because the hearing is when, Todd, Friday morning?
At
9:30 in the 19th Judicial Court. So they're still having to prepare. But you think that's not messing with their mind and their thoughts or elsewhere? Are we going to play or aren't we going to play? We've been through this before. We went through it with the girls' fiasco a couple years ago with St. Michael's and Vanderbilt Catholic and Salmon. So not knowing who they're going to play. At least the one good thing about it is Coach Jenkins and St. James know who they will play if it's overturned. But let's hope the court rules in the LHSAA favor this time.
Am I to assume, say this game is played, that's a road trip for St. James, right, to A-Meet?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know until that morning if you got to pack up. You got everything packed up, ready to go in case you got to start the keys on the bus and go. You don't quite know yet. And if you're a player, if you're an athlete on A-Meet, you don't know. I mean, I understand that you have to go through a process, but for Friday morning, the day of the game,
right.
Either way, if they have not played, St. James does advance.
Correct. And like Todd said, you have to be preactive. You have to stop these kind of things now. And Mr. Bonine's making a stand. We're cleaning this place up. You wanted me to come in here and clean it up. I'm doing it. Now back me. When did it ever, you know, you sit here and say, well, let's, A-Meet is saying, well, let's punish them for a basketball game. Well, that has nothing to do with football. Well, let's punish them for next season. That has nothing to do with this year.
That's
so
right.
What they're telling them, is it's okay if you fight during the regular season.
No, it's not okay to fight in the regular season. It's okay to fight in the playoffs.
It's okay, because, yeah. yeah, you can't fight in the regular season, you get suspended game, but if you fight in the playoffs, we're trying to get it pushed back to next year. So if you're going to rob a bank, let's rob it on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. You're going to get punished. But if you rob it on Thursday or Friday, it's okay. We're going to give you a less of a punishment. So it's that's stupid.
And I'll end with this quote from the Tangipahoa school board lawyer. He said, "We hope the association would entertain a more appropriate, fair penalty. We suggest having a meet forfeit a regular season game next year would be more fair." I sure you would. The association's ruling has excluded all the kids from a meet from participating when some of the kids didn't violate the rules. No a meet players were ejected from the game. So those some of the kids that didn't violate the rules, it's five of them. And they probably get their butt whooped all week because they didn't get out there on the field. But here's the thing. It's in the rule book. Maybe you may not think it's appropriate or a fair penalty, but it's in the rule book, and that's what you have to follow. And when you say it's Mr. Bonine's decision, and he told us this specifically, the ruling against Bird and the ruling against Amit is not his ruling.
Right.
He is enforcing the rules.
Enforcing the rules, and that's what he was brought here to do.
Yes.
And that's why hats off to the executive committee for backing him on it. But it's a society issue, and this goes back to the split. Well, first of all, you weren't good enough to compete against some team, so let's cry about it and let's get it to select and non-select. Okay, so that happens. Now we're punishing our kids too hard. There was nobody physically abused from a punishment or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to clean things up, when did it all of a sudden become wrong to discipline your children or your child or a juvenile or whatever? You can't keep telling them it's okay. It's okay. You got to win a championship. Or it's okay to do this. We're going to protect you. Sometimes you have to suffer consequences.
Yes.
Discipline is a form of changing behavior.
Right.
That's what discipline is. You don't discipline someone just to do it. You do it to change their behavior. And if you want to keep covering for them, you're going down the wrong road. You're leading those kids down the wrong road. And that is not okay.
We'll keep you updated. Stay tuned to 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge as we continue to find out more information on this story as it develops into Friday. Well, when we get back, we'll talk about more actual football on the field. Lots of good games this weekend on the select side for the championships in the Superdome. On the non-select side, it's semifinal week. Cade Wozniak and Todd Black, Jimmy Roy here from Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass for Louisiana Prep Weekly, presented by GMFS on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to Louisiana Prep Weekly, presented by GMFS here on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. Cade Wozniak, Todd Black, and Jimmy Roy live from Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. It's our home away from studio. We invite you to come here before, during, after the games each and every weekend. Todd, what you got there, is that the Supreme Pizza?
It is a Supreme Pizza.
It's
got a lot of good vegetables on it.
If you like a pizza with a little vegetables, which I don't mind, it's it looks like a really good pizza.
And Jackson has a cheese pizza.
Yeah.
And Juice has ate a couple pieces earlier. They're mushroom.
The big pizza is really big. In fact, when we
really
get it at the studio, they cut it into a couple of squares. I think they can do if you ask them to. You get a group you're feeding tonight. Guys, looking at the weekend ahead,
ooh,
you have to look back. What a weekend on a storyline for the Catholic High Bears and Coach Dale Weiner, and then a guy who he's known for a long time, Coach Hightower, on the other side, Division II.
How cool would it have been for St. Thomas More to still be in 5A and to play each other?
That's
and which they did really this cool. year, which they did this year here at Olympia State.
Yeah, I mean St. Thomas More. You look at their non-district season, playing Plaquemine, playing Catholic High, playing Hahnville. They were tested early. In fact, we look back at Catholic High's season, that kind of started their run. After their win on the road, I believe, at Sam Houston, again against the next against St. Thomas More. if I'm not mistaken. It kind of started their run this year in St. Thomas More, a team that played Terlings Catholic in the regular season and lost, and then gets some revenge last week.
Really? I mean, it's you want to talk about those two programs, but unfortunately they're not playing each other. But you're right. Catholic High did get on a roll, I think, the week before against Sam Houston, I believe, to move them to 1-2 before they played St. Thomas More. But really, that's where they turned the quarter. Clyde Edwards-Helaire went down the last play of the first half. We were at that ball game in the end zone. And really, Catholic High came out with a, what was it, Todd, 11 or 15 play type drive, 80 yards, where they ran the football down their throat. And it's really where I feel like Catholic High turned the corner. St. Thomas More is a well-coached team. Which one we're going to talk about? Catholic or Rummel matchup?
We'll start with Catholic High.
Catholic and Rummel.
And looking back at last week, just what a comeback.
Oh, wow.
Just down 21-0, chipping away. I think they had that, where's that drive where they went four and out, possibly went four and on fourth? Or went, it didn't look like they were ever going to get any kind of rhythm offensively. But
I thought one thing that turned the game, and I didn't, you know, Chase was getting married, so I had to miss a lot of it. Got to the y'all studio about 11:30, but one thing that turned the game, it was 21-0 in the third quarter or early fourth quarter, third quarter I believe it was. Evangel had the ball fourth down and about 4 or 5 on about the plus 40 something, and elected to go for it instead of punting and playing defense. And they ended up stopping, Catholic High stopped them, got the ball down there and went down and scored. I thought that point right there really turned the ball game. You got a 21-point lead. Play safe now. Let's kick it down there. Let's play defense. You shut them out. Don't give them a chance to have to turn the momentum.
Exactly. And then, you look on the other side of that bracket and you have Rummel. A very impressive win versus John Curtis. And so Rummel and Catholic are very familiar with each other over the years. And there's going to be a lot of athletes out there. You know, the guys for Rummel, their senior class, I believe, is 46-5. They have 30 seniors. They're 46-5, two championships. This is the opportunity for a third championship. They're led by Chase Forcade, a Nichols commitment.
Correct, without a doubt. And, Todd, I think we both agree that Rummel team is the best football team that we've seen this year. I think it's the best I've seen, and I think you agree with that statement against week one in New High. They're very good. Chase Forcade, three-year starter, Nichols commit. This kid makes them go 262 yards last week versus John Curtis, going 18 for 22. The thing, he's only 6 foot, about 180, 190, but he's a very heady quarterback. And the big thing is he's a dead gum winner, and that's what it is.
The gene.
He makes plays with his feet. He doesn't get enough credit for that. But in the last few weeks before that, he's had some turnover issues. He's made some bad reads. So that's going to be a key for Catholic High, is to try to get Catholic High to force him into making some bad decisions. You talk about him, but about 4K being the key. He is on offense. Christian Fulton is the shutdown cornerback on defense. He has an offer from everywhere. He's a five-star guy. Everybody knows about him. He can pick his college. He shuts down one whole side of the field for you. And then you have the big guy up front, Briston Guidry, 6'3", 295, who's committed to Oklahoma right there in the middle. The thing about offense, I think this game is going to be a war, because Rummel, they run power. And then they're going to run a little more power. And then they're going to run power. And they might trick you every now and then with an ISO or something. But they got a big offensive line. They're going to be physical. How will Catholic match up with those guys? Special teams. Man, you know, Rummel's good in their kick coverage game. But they've had a couple block kicks and punt and field goal situations that Catholic High may can take advantage of. This game is just going to be a 24, 14 type ball game. It's going to be a physical war.
It won't be what we saw with them and Brother Martin.
No. Catholic's not. I mean, Rummel's not built like that. Neither Catholic can score with them, obviously. Now you go back and you look at it. The only game that Rummel put up those type numbers was against Brother Martin, where they scored 59 points.
Yeah.
Rummel offense is averaging 30.6, and their defense allows only 12.6.
Yep.
The thing about Rummel's defense, they never allow a big play. Very, very seldom do they allow a big play. And they don't beat themselves. They're always in the right position. They remind me.
They
mow their own grass. Exactly, like Ken Hilton would say. They take care of their job. Mm-hmm. Very much so like Notre Dame. Those teams are very comparable in what they do defensively, except the difference is Rummel has some five-star guys doing it where Notre Dame does not.
This, obviously, Eler didn't play last week. How does his impact this game?
He's back. Now,
are you supposed to say that?
Yeah.
It was in the advocate.
Oh, so
man, come on, Dan. He had
a concussion issue. He's back.
Okay.
Everybody knows that. Here's my concern with Eler. Very talented player.
Yeah.
Very special. He's the difference maker in open field. He's had a turnover issue in big ball games. He has to take care of the football on Friday night for them to have a chance. And also, he has to be the guy that can break a 60 or 70 yard. We sit here and we say Rummel does not give up the big play. He's a guy who can make that big play happen. So he's important, but he's going to have to play better than he did in a Parkview ball game or some other big games where he's turned it over.
James Berrigan, a guy who can get you taken care of the short yardage situations.
How big has he come up this year? He has filled in some unbelievable roles,
times, yeah,
without a doubt. And you know, we go back and we said that's where their offense changed a little bit. They quit saying, how many times are we getting Edwards the ball? And me and Todd know this. How many times Jeremy Hill touched the football? Quit worrying about that. Let's call the game. What do you see? What are we good at? What can we expose? What can we take advantage of? Let's do that. Quit worrying about giving Jeremy Hill the ball. Same thing with Cali Kai. That's when their offense evolved.
They're not afraid to let Brian run a little bit, too.
Without a doubt.
And the only thing that I'll leave this conversation with is that the biggest challenge for me as a coach would be that game last week was so emotional. It was so big.
Yeah.
Catholic High hadn't been to the Dome in 25 years. A lot of times these guys are satisfied.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you hammer on Friday.
That's right. And you can't. You've got to finish the season. You just can't let that be your goal. Your goal has to be.
I don't think that's going to be Catholic's problem. It's a great point because they are there for the first time in 25 years. I don't think being satisfied with getting there is a goal of theirs. My biggest concern is how do they handle that environment because they haven't been there in 25 years. Rummel, like Todd, just spit out those stats. They're there every year almost with the exception of last year. They're used to it. This group is a team that expects to be there every year. How does Catholic High handle the emotion? And we talk about it all the time in big games. After the first big play or two, after the first 5 or 6 minutes of the ball game, you still have 3.5 quarters. You can't let the dome lights beat you. It's a football game. The field's still 100 yards.
It's the last game of the day, too. So you're going to be thinking about it until 8:30, 9
o'clock. All day long.
And I'm sure we're about to get to it, I'm sure. But, you know, since we're talking about it, we'll flip the tables to the Division II.
Right.
St. Thomas More is dealing with the same thing
exactly.
That Catholic is, and Parkview is
exactly
on the line of where Rummel
exactly
is.
Exactly.
Yeah, Parkview coming into this game, the lower seed, but the team with the more experience by far inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Not far from a championship, not far removed, obviously, last year as the runner-up in this competition with experience all over the football field.
And interestingly enough, Parkview got over a big hurdle last week, beating a team they haven't beaten in 5 tries. Where's their mindset? And you know, we talk about mindset, and it's such a huge part of the game. If you're not ready to play, you're going to get your butt beat.
Oh, without a doubt. And just what little bit of information I received on the Parkview game. Todd, I think you were at it apart a little bit. I think Parkview, from what my understanding, they did a pretty good job of attacking maybe at an angle instead of going straight ahead where you're running into the Dillon Moses and those type guys? Did they attack it a little more at an angle instead of straight ahead?
What it looked like to me was that they had more misdirection. They beat him on a couple reverses. They went wide. They'd get him going side to side, and then they'd hit him right up the middle. That counter option would be a good play that they ran. Reggie Hayes got loose on that, it seemed, a couple of times. But, you know, and I told Coach Scott Dietrich, offensive coordinator, that I really thought that I've seen him call a lot of good games, but by far I thought that was his best called game because he had them guessing to where they were going. And he put his team in the best possible opportunity, gave them the best possible opportunity to win.
And they took advantage of a couple of turnovers, one close to the goal line, I think one by Dillon Moses in the second half. Got themselves extra opportunities and really took advantage of it. We'll take a quick timeout.
We'll get back to this game, no doubt.
Definitely, and lots more to go. Of course, West Feliciana still in the mix, Southern Lab still in the mix, Zachary in 5A with a chance to go to the Superdome. So we'll talk about that and more. Kate Wozniak, Todd Black, Jimmy Roy. It's Louisiana Prep Weekly presented by GMFS, 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to Louisiana Prep Weekly presented by GMFS. Kate Wozniak, Todd Black, and Jimmy Roy. Don't forget our coverage on Friday. We're going to have a special edition of After Further Review from 1 to 4. Louisiana Prep Preview to follow. And then we'll have coverage of the Division II State Championship between Parkview Baptist and St. Thomas More, followed by the Division I State Championship between Catholic High and Rummel right here on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge, and online 104.5ESPN.com.
Okay, before we go any further, I got to give a special shout-out, good luck to our good friend Eric Held. You know, me and Todd coached with him at Redemptorist for, you know, I had him for a couple of years. Todd coached with him.
Did he just text you and tell you to say this?
No, he didn't. No, he did not. But I think their practice is still at LSU facilities, actually. I know they didn't get through till at least 6:30. But we want to give him a shout-out, wish him good luck. I know it's been a goal of his. He's played there as a player. He's in high school and college. He's coached ball games there, but never when it's all for the big marbles. And, you know, he's been Todd's fill-in when Todd was on assignment several times, and I know what it means to him personally. So I want to wish Eric Hill good luck.
We always enjoy having him in the suite, but it's nice to be.
Oh, yeah, first time. We freed up two tickets for the suite. I told him that. He did text me today, but I will take him next week. So good luck to, you know, not only Catholic High, but Eric Held especially.
Let's finish up our conversation with Parkview and St. Thomas More. Parkview, last week, as I mentioned, benefited from turnovers, ran the ball very well, and as you mentioned, they were very dynamic in their offensive approach. But a guy, Peyton Phillips, who was one of our Raising Cane's student-athletes of the week, if I'm not mistaken, this year, was the recipient, I think, of the only pass thrown in the game, that fake punt in the second half. Look, that's not something that's been foreign from Coach Jay Maia. We saw what he did in the Superdome last year, pulling out basically everything he had to try to take put his team in the best possible position.
I think you have seen Parkview run more trick plays this year than I've ever seen in my life. What the reason for it is, I don't know. I don't know if it's something they're seeing. Obviously, it's probably because you can. But obviously, it's something that you're seeing on film. And they're doing it on special teams. They're doing it by Fumbleroski, by halfback passes, by double passes, whatever. But they're doing a good job of it. This is a veteran team. They've been there a lot of times. Last year they lose in the Dome in a very well-called, very well-played ball game against UHigh. UHigh was just a little too good at the end of the day.
Special teams.
Right. Special teams killed them in that. You talk about special teams. You jump over to the St. Thomas More side of the football right there. I'm glad you brought that up. They have a kicker punter named Bailey Rayburn. He's a UCLA commit. Best kicker. I didn't see Briggs Bourgeois, obviously, from Santa Monica in person, but this kid. He does know Briggs. But one of the things is he takes away the return game. They've moved Reggie Hayes back there. Gutsy call. Gutsy call by. To put your quarterback to return kicks, but Rayburn takes him out of that situation if he wants to. If Jim Hightower tells him, kick it in the end zone every time, he's going to kick it in the end zone. If you can get to the 33-yard line that gives you a 50-yard field goal opportunity, you have an opportunity, a legit opportunity. He's plus 50. I mean, 52 yards to win a game, got to like your chances. He's going to average 43 to 45 yards a kick. We watched him warm up at Olympia Stadium at halftime going across the field. Everything is over 55 yards. So he could be a huge weapon on the special team
difference.
Side of it.
Absolutely.
Moving on to the other games in the select divisions, divisions 3 and 4. On the 4 side locally, you got 6-seeded Southern Lab and 4th-seeded St. Mary. For Southern Lab, making a return trip, and hopefully this time they can come away with some hardware.
Well, I think they should be able to get out there and flip the score from last year. Or what was it, 2 years ago maybe?
Yeah.
But, St. Mary's run spread. They have a quarterback that does a good job with it. But here's the issue that St. Mary's going to have. Southern Lab has the athletes to be able to man you up and put as many people in the box as they want to stop the quarterback from running. So that's the issue when you face someone as athletic and talented as Southern Lab. I would expect to see Southern Lab get off to a good start and do well.
Last year they got off to a quick start, had a turnover, did not take advantage of it, and ended up getting blown out in a game where they were the more athletic ball team. Special teams, bad snaps, and those things killed Southern Lab in the past, in the Superdome. One thing they did last year, if you remember, Todd, they left on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. They went and stayed two nights in New Orleans. You don't do that. That's number one. And then special teams, you got to be sound in that. Marcus Randall has changed their philosophy a little bit. They went from a spread offense to where they're more of a power offense. They're in an eye. They will get a little bit of multiple. You have some receivers on the outside who can make plays. It's used to what Marcus was running when he was at LSU under Saban. It's a Saban-type offense, and it got away from the spread. No doubt about it. If you want to look at if it's a beauty contest, Southern Lab wins hands down. I don't know anything about St. Mary's. I haven't studied them, haven't prepared for those guys. I'll get into a little bit more.
Wasn't Held the St. Mary's?
Eric Held came from St. Mary's to Redemptorist, actually, is where he came from. It's a great place to live, and Nacogdoches is a beautiful town. But I can promise you, if it's a beauty contest, Southern Lab wins hands down. They're loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be pretty. You look at their losses, and not right offhand, I think they lost to Kentwood late in the season, if I'm not mistaken. Their other two losses was to IMG and U-High. Early in the year. This is a very talented team.
Yep.
Going there last year, I thought the bright lights, like we talk about, how will Catholic High handle it? How will St. Thomas More handle it? Their Southern Lab is going to benefit from going last year because they handled it so poorly. They were just out of their element, and they were the better team on the field that night.
I get confused. Was it last year?
Yeah.
When did St. Frederick's beat Southern Lab up in Monroe?
2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago? Yeah, the very first year they did that.
First year was Washtenaw Christian, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. That's correct.
And, yeah, they really it was disappointing because they had the same athletes that we're talking about now. Carlin Williams, Debron.
They have them all.
And we saw throughout the season the speed and the athleticism of this team. And in the Superdome that morning, it just was like, where did it go?
Well, 10 a.m. did not start.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, and that's something
that's
something there that's unfair to kids.
Right.
You should be playing I'm not even calling it a state championship. I'm going to call it a select championship just for Miss Griffin up there. But you don't play it at 10 o'clock in the morning. Come on.
And the thing is what is very impressive is I have a lot of respect for Vermilion Catholic and for what Southern Lab did to Vermilion Catholic, obviously. Very talented. And the most intriguing matchup of the day is the next one we're going to talk about. You know, I think, the matchup between Notre Dame and Riverside is going to be something to really see. It's going to be a chess match between a great offensive team and a great defensive team.
That's
a
right,
defensive
yeah.
team that hadn't given up many points with Louis Cook. Coach Bill Stubbs with Riverside has been there years ago. He was at Salmon with Tristan Smith. That's dating myself a little bit, but and he's got a very good team in Riverside. They've come here. They've beat John Curtis. They've beaten Plaquemine, and so they have a lot of talent.
I think this may be the best game of the day.
I think so.
I honestly do, because it's complete opposites. Even though Louis Cook and their offense is good, Notre Dame's defense, wow. I mean, you hold Calvary to 7 points a couple weeks ago. Like we said, week three, they gave up 23 to Turlings. Since then, they've given up 7 points, I think, twice, and 6 points twice. And that's it. You win last week, what, 33 to nothing or somewhere along that line against St. Thomas Aquinas?
33 nothing, yeah.
Against St. Thomas Aquinas. They're just shut down. They have shut down everyone. The Riverside is going to come, going to give them a totally different look. But I still go back to fundamentals, and I know Todd preaches fundamentals more than any coach I've ever been around. You got to do fundamentals, you got to do fundamentals. Notre Dame fundamentally, defensively, is the best there is. And, and I say that because we've played against them so many times while we were at Redemptorist. They're never out of position. They're always there. You may be physically better than them. You may be more talented than them. You may be faster. But they're always going to be in the right place. And that's what's so impressive about their defense.
I mean, when you looked at what we talked about last week, and we talked about how prepared they are, what was the comparison that, not that these guys are never out of position. It was
gaps, they're always just sound.
The sound of this football team. Yep. We talked about Scotlandville and how disciplined they've become. This is a team that you're not going to see get penalized for the silly kind of careless mm-hmm. things. If you're going to beat them, you're going to have to beat them straight up.
Well, the truth about it is, really, when you're playing the defensive line and that you're playing a linebacker, really only thing that when that formation gets up there, you get in the right position and then you have your reads. And if the defensive line does what they're supposed to do, it does not matter what the offense is doing. You're going to find your fit, because that offensive lineman is going to take you to the ball. And that's what Notre Dame understands so well. So whether somebody's playing option, whether they're playing spread, whether they're playing wing T, if you're able to key your reads, you're going to be in the right position.
One thing to keep an eye on, guys, and this is something we all need to watch for in that ball game Friday, which we will be down there. They say they are so well prepared, saying they, Notre Dame, their coaches do not even signal in calls throughout the ballgame. That'll be pretty cool to watch.
I wish I had three athletic PEs.
No, come on. Louis is a good one, man. Hey, we got a break or Parkway, Zachary?
We'll take a break. We'll come back, talk about Parkway and Zachary in the 5A semifinal coming up this weekend. Cade Wazan, Todd Black, and Jimmy Roy. It's Louisiana Prep Weekly, live from Flitz and Giggles here on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to Louisiana Prep Weekly as we wind down tonight's show here live from Flitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Of course, we're brought to you by GMFS. And big game going on this Friday that we'll be keeping a close eye on back here in town as the 5A semifinals. One half, you got John Arrett in Mandeville, but locally, Zachary in Parkway.
This is going to be, and I do it all the time, Kay. Parkway, a little bit of information on Parkway. Their offense average is 41.6 a game. 9 games, they've scored over 45 points. Defense allows 21.1. But here's the key to this.
Similar style offense they had when Brandon Harris was in?
Very, very similar.
Since
their week four loss to Evangel, they have allowed only 11.7 points a game. That's a big key. Keandre Woodtie.
Just call him K.
Yeah, Keandre. He's a Louisiana Tech commit. Coach David Feaster thinks he's the best quarterback in the country. He also says the same thing about Brandon Harris, so we're not going to go there. But he's the real deal. Had 390 yards passing last week. Obviously, it's going to be a big matchup with him and Lindsay. We'll get to that in a second. Wide receiver Terrace Marshall, 5 catches, 152 yards. Defensive back C.J. Morgan, who is a Mississippi State commit, had an 85-yard interception return for a touchdown last week with about 2 minutes left in the game to seal the win for Destrehan. This comes down to a track meet. Offense is high octane. Scott scores, goes for 470 and 7 touchdowns last week. But at the end of the day, what defense will get the key turnover? Which one will get the key stop wins the ball game?
Real quick, somebody other than Lindsey Scott who's going to have an impact in this game for Zachary?
I think the wide receivers, Chiron White, Douglas Coleman,
yeah.
Two wide receivers for Zachary, but they're going to be playing defense. Can they make a difference on the defensive side?
Great game over on the North Shore. Mandeville has the Ogeron twins, mm-hmm. and Cody and Parker, and they've been doing great. I think Cody was, or Parker, one of them was
John Eyre, best defense I've seen this year.
Michael, hey, look, Divinity.
Those guys, the size we saw in Live Oak.
John Eyre, yes.
Hey, Cade.
Got it.
If this is a beauty contest, they're Purdy.
They Purdy. John Eyre is Purdy, but I don't know if they can score enough to beat Mandeville.
I don't think they're going to be able to. John Eyre's defense is something, man. Just by what y'all said.
They're unbelievable.
All right. For producer Ryan back in studio, Jimmy Roy, Ty Black, I'm Cade Wise, and of course Jackson.
Jackson and Juice.
Hanging out and making things
Jackson
happen.
Jackson and Juice.
That's another show. We can launch that next year. We'll
oh
see you on
God.
Friday. It's Louisiana Prep Weekly, 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.